Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me?
Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Here at Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Frank, we got a great show. We're going to be talking about, and thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. It's all about empowerment. So we're going to talk about history review of pediatric illnesses. And where that's going to lead us, you're going to see. And we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking Lord's face. And I'm minding the time because it grows short. Today's devotional puts us in Psalm 16, where it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Amen to that. I mean, we don't even know the good things that God has in store for his children in heaven. So I hope you're one of them. And if you're not, mind the time, it grows short. Jesus is the way. Find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ today. And without further ado, let's do the quack report.
Back and back, 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 back and back.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, first up in the Quack Report, it says Chicago officials urge monkeypox precautions as at your summer gatherings. Creeping it on in. Chicago Department of Public Health encouraging residents to take precautions when gathering with others this summer, as a handful of monkeypox cases have been confirmed in their city. Department said in the release Monday, officials have been working with the organizations of large summer events to provide information about how to stay safe. Officials are communicating that if someone feels sick, has a rash or sores, they should not attend the gathering. The city has identified 7 cases as of last Sunday and is working with the Illinois Department of Public Health and other local departments to find out where other potential cases are. There have been 49 confirmed cases, they say, in the United States across 16 states and also Washington, D.C. Now, why do they say that, Frank? Why do they say 16 states and Washington, D.C.? Is it because Washington, D.C. is not really a state? Most affected individuals have reported mild symptoms and no one has died, according to the release. So here we go. Just letting you know. Last but not least in the Quack Report, this is Medical College of Georgia in Augusta University. They say they did this study on sleep, and Americans get the least amount of sleep. They want to know where the curve is. Apparently, it's age 40. So a graph on how long Americans sleep tends to form what they call a U-shaped pattern across a graph which represents their life, with age 40 being the low point in hours of sleep. And then it creeps back up when you get to the age 50, according to their report. So, you know, you 30-somethings out there. Well, you know, it makes sense to me because, you know, usually you have your kids, in 20s, 30s, maybe 40s, and you're not getting too much sleep if you're up with, you know, babies and toddlers and things. So that makes sense. You're a little sleep deprived. Okay. But then grandma, she gets to go home at the end of the day. So, yeah, she's 50. She getting her sleep. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
All righty. Thank you, Frank. Hey, Frank, I'm sorry I missed that file if you sent it to me. Could you resend it? You know, I may have missed it. Lots going on over here, so we're trying to keep it together. All right, we're going to be talking, and we're going to talk a little bit about pediatric illnesses, a little history there, kind of show you the bigger picture and where we are today and what's going on. What'd you say, two? Okay, two files. Okay, well, send them to me. I'll look at them. So the history review of pediatric illness, you know, it's going to be like just a brief kind of snapshot, a little synopsis here. And you know what? In the early 1900s, a lot of pediatricians, they started, organizing societies and boards and research where, you know, they were establishing collaboration in efforts to supposedly stop childhood illnesses, okay? Now, many early of the first century writings, even by Hippocrates, describes a lot of the same illnesses that we have today. That's from the source Epidemics and Descriptions by Celsus. So it's an ancient writing. But after the 11th century, there was a gap. There was like 500 years where they couldn't find any writings from any medical physicians that would describe pediatric illnesses. So in the 15th century, books on ailments were found, and it lists about 35 common ailments. Here is a quote from Pediatric Research, January 2004, and they said, "At the end of the 16th century, understanding of disease in children had barely advanced beyond the theories and observations of the Greeks and Romans, and it was restated by the Arab physicians. And the clinical observations seem to be of little value." Now, Did you know, Frank, the Arabs started a lot of the medical practices of the ancient world, like in Babylon and in today's modern medicine? A lot of what went on in Babylon is still being done today, folks, in your modern medicine. Alchemy. Yeah, Frank said he knew that. Good man. And your Arabs were the ones behind starting pharmacies. Yeah, that's where all that started. So Dr. Ott did a history of modern medicine, and he had a really great presentation. He's I think he still has that if you want to grab it on a DVD. You can go to, I think his website's MotherEarthMinerals.com, PhD in minerals. What did you say, Frank? And astronomy. Yes, and algebra, too. Yes, the Arabs were big into those sciences, yes. Well, now, getting back to our topic, in the 1700s, medicine was delving more into vaccination for many of the infectious diseases, including smallpox. See, a lot of you out there may thought, well, I thought vaccines were kind of a modern thing. Well, not as modern as you think. The ancient theories on disease were, you know, pushed to the side as science went and pursued the theories on disease. The new theories on disease and vaccinology. So, yeah, your vaccine serum tinkering started around then. Now, in the 1800s and early 1900s, the pediatric infections were mainly diphtheria, infant diarrhea, tuberculosis, staphylococcal infections like your scarlet fever, mumps and measles and whooping cough, smallpox and influenza. So those were, they were focusing on a lot of that. Right, Frank? False assumptions. Yeah, the failed false assumptions of vaccines, he says. Well, we're going to get to it, Frank. Yes. So then I came across this really interesting family journal thing of the 1800s. Okay. So in February 2014, a publication called The Vault, which is a state history blog, wrote about some writings found in a family recording childhood diseases of the 1800s. And it was assumed the mother of these 9 children she wrote about, she was writing about her children's illnesses, and that 4 of her 9 children eventually died from these illnesses. And it seems that her name was Mary Pleasant Fox Fisher. She kept this journal, stuck it in the family Bible. And her children that fell ill, she wrote about, and she herself died about 8 years after her children died. So the 4 children that perished were Hannah Fisher. She's born in 1816. She died of whooping cough. Sarah Fisher, born in 1820, died of whooping cough. William Fisher, born in 1822, died of whooping cough. And Thomas Fisher, born in 1827, died of mumps. So I got the gist from reading these things that these were her youngest children. Her older children were fine. So the Fishers came from this long lineage of prosperous merchant Quakers in the Philadelphia area. And the wealthy had, of course, back then access to the latest medical treatments, which, you know, were not widely used on the general population. So was vaccination really causing outbreaks or disease mutation in the 1800s? Because they had serums rolling around then. And Edward Jenner, remember him, supposedly developed this safe cowpox vaccine for smallpox. However, recent history is showing us there is no cowpox virus in that vaccine, just several strains of smallpox. Okay, so either history got it wrong or somebody lied. I don't know. So, and this was all thought to be, all this vaccine stuff was all thought to be progressive at that time, but new data is now questioning the vaccine theory, you know, and as if it, you know, and eradicating the pediatric diseases because it's getting the credit for that. Let's read this quote again from The Vault. This is another quote. They said, in the 18th century, experimenting with immunization on children and adults was being done, and some people died after being inoculated. So I have to wonder if Miss Fisher had her youngest children inoculated, and they didn't fare so well. I hope not, but sad. Let me read you this quote. This was by Arween Mohan, historian, and he's the author of The Risk, Negotiating Safety in American Society. He said, it was a matter of public debate. Do people have the right to infect themselves with a vaccine in hope of immunity if another outcome might be an outbreak? So he was looking at the data that showed that a lot of these vaccines were creating disease and outbreaks. So scientific observation, if we look at it this way, if we want to be, you know, scientific about it, about the childhood diseases and how and when it became less of a threat, you know, did vaccines get the credit or was it something else? So we can take a look at some of the statistical analysis beginning in the 1920s through the 1970s. When we look at the charts that prior to mass vaccination for these childhood diseases being implemented, we can find that these diseases already started to drop off from the 1920s to the 1940s. So the diseases were pretty much decreasing by 30 to 90% before the vaccines were even distributed. So diseases like polio, measles, pertussis, and smallpox, they were all declining in the population before the vaccines were developed or used. So cases of such disease, well, now when I say were developed and used, I mean on mass scale. Okay, so they were tinkering in the 1800s with it, testing, experimenting, but on a mass scale, these vaccines were not mandatory yet for people. So cases of these diseases increased when you look at the charts after the vaccines were rolled out and used in the population. So we had a natural decline of the diseases prior to the mass production and use of the vaccines. So the diseases were petering out, and we're going to get to why that was. So, for instance, a child who was vaccinated for polio and became ill was diagnosed as not having polio, but aseptic meningitis. So the vaccine gave him polio, but the medical profession refused to acknowledge that, and they gave him a new diagnosis of aseptic meningitis. So the statistics show that 87% of the polio cases in the 1960s and 70s were really caused by the vaccine. Yeah. All right. What did you say, Frank? A failed false assumption. A vaccine. Right. Yeah. That's another way of putting it. So here's a quote from the FDA in 1992. They said, the live poliovirus vaccine has become the dominant cause of the polio in the United States today. So they had to make changes to the vaccine, but they were acknowledging, our product caused the disease. Mm-mm-mm. So what science found was using live viruses and injecting them gave the person the disease, and it caused more harm than good. So today, your polio vaccine uses a dead virus and a live but weakened, they call it an attenuated virus. So the human immune system really doesn't make antibodies for dead pathogens. That's not happening. And nor does it make antibodies for any significance for these types of artificial infections called vaccines. So if you get any antibody activity, it's short-lived. Didn't you ever wonder why they didn't want people taking antibody tests after they got the COVID vaccine? Because it wasn't generating antibodies. It would have said, big fail. Now, how does science determine a vaccine is safe? Do you know, Frank? Raise your hand, Frank, if you think you know how science determine if a vaccine is safe. Or do they care? Well, that is a good question. Well, they have traditionally used indirect testing. That's what it's called, indirect testing. And what that means, they try to determine the dose, the efficiency, and the safety of the vaccine. For instance, for the pertussis vaccine, what they did is they injected a dose into a mouse to see if the mouse's immune system is activated. So if it is, then it's determined the vaccine is rendered the immunity in mice, and they did not lose any, if they didn't lose any weight, if the mouse didn't lose any weight, they automatically assumed it to be safe for children. So if the mouse didn't croak or lose weight, safe for kids. So this method pretty much is still used today with minor changes. And it has also been an accepted practice that if the mice become, if the animal trials show that the animals become severely ill or die, well, that test shows you don't proceed to the human trial to use that product. It's back to the drawing board. But they kind of skipped that with the COVID thing. The animal tests, they died, but we'll just pretend that didn't happen. That's pretty much what they did. Unfortunately, the standard of, you know, the animal trial thing is often overlooked today, and it's a real problem for humanity. Frank says, I think they purposely put out dangerous bioweapons that they know will sicken and eventually kill everyone that takes it. Okay. I can't disagree with that, Frank. I really can't. And my audience may be going, oh, what? Well, let's get through this. You're going to see some more things in just a minute. You may agree with Frank over there. So, let's look at the measles real quick. The measles pathogen had diminished in the United States population by 95% prior to 1940, which is before the vaccine in mass was developed and used, which started around 1960. So after the vaccine was used, the measles rate jumped by 58%. Your pertussis, the pertussis disease was also on the way out far before the vaccine was made for it. By 1930, pertussis decreased by 85% prior to the vaccine release in 1938. And after the vaccine was used, the pertussis cases jumped 46% in the United States. And according to Dr. William Torch of the University of Nevada School of Medicine, it should be noted that the pertussis vaccine also stresses the breathing of children, creating the dreaded SIDS, or sudden infant death syndrome. So children who die of SIDS often have had the pertussis or the DPT vaccine within 12 hours to 3 weeks post-vaccine. So, yeah, so if they have the vaccine in that time period, it's probably the culprit. So it is, well, I don't know. Do you think it's a coincidence that SIDS occurs when children are 2 months and 4 months of age, which is when the shots are administered? I don't think so. Here's a quote from a correlation study. It's called Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? They said 70% of the children who die of SIDS have had the DPT vaccine within 3 weeks. Yeah. All right, well, let's look at smallpox real quick since we've been on pox topics. When we look at the statistics of smallpox and the use of the vaccine, we see a similar picture. Smallpox also had the numbers of cases were declining prior to a vaccine. And one report found that certain variables influenced the decline of diseases, and they were improved sanitation, sewer systems were improved, transportation changed from horse and cart to automobile, so no horse manure in the streets, okay? And nutrition, they started teaching nutrition to the public. That started in the 1900s. And food was being delivered while still fresh then, and refrigeration offered the fruits and vegetables to be year-round. you know, frozen foods and stuff like that. So we had better nutrition and better sanitation, which cuts down on disease. So the smallpox vaccine was one of the first to become mandatory, and the disease only declined when people started refusing the shot. Here's a quote from the Poisoned Needle 1974 publication. They said, examination of the medical records on smallpox death indicate a consistent pattern that 90% of all the smallpox deaths occurred after the individual was vaccinated. So there are also the long-term effects of vaccines that most physicians really do not want to talk about. And it's my experience that an educated adult most likely knows more about the side effects of vaccines than their doctor. So with the new age of censorship, I imagine it's going to be much harder for people to find information that tells them the truth about most drug, surgical, or vaccine therapies. So you want to keep disease alive. That's what they want to do. Science states that their smallpox vaccine eradicated the disease in 1977, and they discontinued mandating the shot, and it was more likely, hey, people refused to take the vaccine due to the horrible side effects and the high risk of death. But nearly half a century later, here we are, the mention of the monkeypox or smallpox is becoming a threat. Dr. Anthony Fauci has been working on a new smallpox vaccine he wants to introduce to us all. And most of us are asking, what reassurance do we have that any vaccine will be beneficial and not harmful? I would say there's very little to zero chance the vaccine of any kind is beneficial. Vaccinology is based on an unproven theory, and it has been around as long as it is has been due to medical propaganda, suppressing the truth, coercion, and threats. So doctors have zero medical school training in immune system, and they don't know what goes into the vaccines. They only know when to give the shots or whatever reason the drug companies publish and give them. So based on what I've learned over the last 30 years of doing this research, vaccines create disease in vaccinated people. They have a purpose, and that is not what the public is told it is. Vaccines provide the medical system with lifelong patients and the drug companies with lifelong patients. So vaccines also help to reduce the population, and vaccines are the disease in, and the disease in them pretty much classified as bioweapons. Okay? So you want to stay informed. Now, the folks at Apothec Herbs will soon release a new herbal formula with natural inhibitors to the smallpox virus. Research by the Public Library of Science confirms certain herbs kill the smallpox pathogen, and we should use them, and not the toxic vaccines that are 500% above the safe dose. So call Apothec, there's no safe dose, really. So call Apothecary Herbs and get their free product catalog and get empowered. Sign up for their free online email newsletters, and you want to stay informed that way as well. They have heart attacks, pandemic kits, cold and flu packs, you name it, they got it. Give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. The web is thepowerherbs.com. Check them out there. They have a Father's Day sale on. You'll save 25% on your order of $50 or more. Use the coupon code DAD22 online or over the phone. Hurry, the sale does end on the 20th of June, and restrictions apply. Also, they have inventory restrictions on some items, so give them a call, 866-229-3663, or visit them at thepowerherbs.com. Got to take a little break. We'll be right back.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balanced chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of mega doses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Thank you, Frank. Bouncy music. Love that. Okay. We're going to be kind of shifting gears. We're going to be talking about why patients are looking to some natural therapies, especially with some very scary conditions, you know. I don't know, Frank, can you name a scary condition if you went to the doctor and got a diagnosis, you had a scary condition, you know, people get all upset and emotional. And it is scary. I mean, you know, it's kind of presented as a life-threatening thing. So, Frank's thinking. So medicine kind of is stunned lately that patients are now turning down a lot of their recommended treatments to go do something else. And, of course, you know, doctors are taught, well, you know, those people are making a fatal mistake. More people are taking the step to research their treatments, especially those offered by modern medicine, and also looking at natural alternatives instead. So, quite frankly, people are, you know, doing more research on anything really that impacts their lives. You know, with technology today, it's really easy to look stuff up. And why wouldn't people take advantage of their technology to search for their answers? So research can help confirm the advertising medicine is putting out there. It can authenticate testimonials. It can also point people to discover new information they may have overlooked. And you never know what you're going to find unless you look out there. So modern medicine is really not very accepting of their patients challenging their treatment recommendations. And it's not, it is not accepting of, they're not accepting of any of the success stories of people that are putting out there, you know, on social media and stuff. You know, this is what I did, you know, and I did really well. So most allopathic physicians do not have any knowledge or experience using natural therapies and nutrition. They're not taught that. They're taught to prescribe. That's it. So it's really not in, it's not in their arena for them to explore and promote professionally anything outside the drug, surgery arena. So there are a few physicians that, you know, may tell you something discreetly. And if I had to sum it up why more people are kind of looking the natural medicine route, is to help, even with the challenging conditions, they're looking because, to be quite honest, you know, unless you have really good medical insurance, you know, you'd be bankrupted taking the therapies recommended to you by medicine. So, and even if you do have insurance, you still could be put in the poorhouse. So I would say two things come into play. The healthcare treatments are expensive. They tend to be very toxic. And they most likely don't usually resolve the problem. And if they do resolve the problem, they give you another problem in its place. So people are becoming less trusting of taking a chance on those therapies. So people are not willing to risk their lives if they have reservations about any of the research and the procedures being promoted. So let's see what a research team at Southwestern Medical Center in Utah is saying about cancer patients and their alternative checklist. What'd you say, Frank? I think most people, the only thing that really scares them about going to their witch doctor is hearing their insurance won't cover that. Well, thanks, Frank, for that perspective. Well, yeah, see, I mean, a snake bite now can be six figures if you go to the emergency room. It's insane. And there's things that can neutralize a snake bite in a skinny minute. Cost you $200. Okay, $100,000 versus $200. Let me think hard. Let's look at the empowerment, because it's kind of stunning, the medical profession. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, some of the researchers at Southwestern Medical Center in Utah were kind of saying they were stunned by what they discovered. Well, they're being honest. They were stunned by what they discovered in their research. They expected something else. So they describe the revelation as stunning, what they reported, and it suggests that these scientists and the physicians involved were shocked, astonished, surprised, amazed, even gobsmacked that a third of the cancer patients out there were using natural therapies to deal with their cancer instead of chemo and radiation and surgery. So they report that the patients were using combinations of different medications, yoga, acupuncture, massage, herbal supplements, and other supplements. So people are deciding their treatment plan. Wow. What a revelation. Mm-hmm. So the research was published by the Journal of the American Medical Association, the JAMA Journal, on oncology. It was April 2019 publication. And physicians are not in the habit of asking patients if they are using alternative therapies. They're just not. So according to their report, doctors in Utah at the Southwestern Medical Center require patients now to disclose this information. Here is a quote from Dr. Dina Sanford, professor of radiation oncology and gastroenterology. She says, herbal supplements were the most common alternative medicine followed by chiropractic care. Totally freaked them out, Frank. In their head, in their training, in their indoctrination, they think that's foolish. See? You know? But, you know, an honest oncologist, an honest cancer doctor will tell you, we don't cure cancer. And they don't. Here's a quote from Dr. Sanford again. She says, our research is suggesting that younger patients and women are more likely to use complementary and alternative medicine. And we also learned that patients often do not tell their physicians they are using these treatments, especially if the physician does not ask. End of quote. Well, perhaps the patients perceive the doctor don't know anything about that area. Why bring it up? You know, why get into an argument? Why open that door where, you know, you may be, the patient may be made to feel foolish, you know, wasting time and all that. Dr. Nina goes on to say, myself and other cancer specialists agree this is concerning, especially in the case of herbal supplements, end of quote. Well, God said herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, Dr. Nina. Are you going to call God a liar? Well, Dr. Sanford also mentions that the patients they surveyed said the reason they did not disclose to their doctors they were using other forms of treatments is because they didn't think the doctor needed this information. And now there is this, an interesting statement here from a patient, their perspective, a patient's perspective. They know medical physicians don't deal, again, in the natural therapies. They don't know much about them and therefore would not know how to advise them. So from their viewpoint, why even say anything? I don't know, Frank. If you wound up in the emergency room and they're hovering over you saying, do you take herbal supplements? You know, what are you going to say? And a lot of people are mixing treatments. So there is this unknown when you kind of mix natural therapies with the allopathic drug treatments. I'm not a big fan of doing that. Let's face it, mixing your herbs and your chemo drugs and your radiation is not what I would do. Pick one therapy or the other. You're spent sitting here and you're going to cancel out everything by mixing. So I would not think the yoga, the massage, and the chiropractic care would be a problem. We always worry about your herbs, you know, interfering with the uptake and absorption of prescription drugs, so you got to keep that in mind. Now, here's what Dr. Sanford objects to when you're using herbs. This is what she said. We have no data on certain supplements being used during radiation treatments. It could interfere with the high levels of antioxidants in some of the supplements could interfere, and it would make the radiation less effective. Well, if you have no data, doc, remember, you're scientists. You got to follow the science, the evidence. If you have no data, why are you making that type of accusation? It may make your treatments ineffective. Get some evidence first. Also, Dr. David Gerber, lung cancer specialist, Southwestern Medical Center, says physicians need to know what supplements patients are on, because that can completely throw off traditional cancer treatments. The supplements can interfere with the medicines that we're giving patients. Well, I won't disagree with that. That can happen. Now, I have known some physicians to even ban the use of supplements like vitamin C, vitamin E, and your B vitamins during cancer treatments. And I will say that herbs can sometimes block the absorption of prescribed drugs, like I mentioned, and nullify them, or even magnify them, like you took too much. Now, I typically do not advocate mixing your herbal medications with your drugs, and there are some exceptions to this rule, like if you're trying to wean off a lot of drugs that are controlling metabolic functions and you don't want withdrawal. So there, if you decide you want to do that, there's a way of doing it. So the doctors have really no clue what will happen using your herbs all by themselves, let alone with their chemo and radiation. So patients will be told to avoid these supplements altogether. Yeah. Here is Nancy Myers, 47-year-old mother of four children. She says this: I wanted to use vitamin supplements during my cancer treatments, and I asked my doctor and was told I could not use them. One doctor said, "We don't know how supplements interact with our conventional medicines." After my treatment, I used turmeric, omega-3s, and vitamin D and B6. I know plenty of people in my cancer support group who use alternative therapies, and I know people who use only alternative medicines for their cancer. So the overall research in your modern medicine, cancer treatments, is that it has a very high mortality rate. So the average patient lives 2 to 5 years after cancer surgery, radiation, and chemo, typically. So there are exceptions, but the majority are not so fortunate. So oncologists who are honest tell their patients they don't cure cancer, but they just hope to buy you a little time. You know, they delay the inevitable. So therefore, I find the following statement by Dr. Sanford a little misleading here. She says, people with cancer who use only alternative medicine and no traditional medicine treatments is dangerous and could be fatal. All right. So Dr. Sanford knows the traditional medical cancer treatments don't save people from cancer, and best just gives them temporary relief. That's what, you know, remission means. Remission means lessening of symptoms. Doesn't mean you're cured. People misinterpret that remission as a cure. It's not. Why don't they just say cured then? If it's supposed to mean cured, it's because it doesn't mean cured. Therefore, their treatments are fatal, aren't they? Basically. And doctors are cautious about using nutritional supplements for cancer, but are comfortable using toxic chemicals, radiation, and surgery. So radiation causes extreme fatigue. Chemo chemicals will kill healthy tissue along with the cancer and makes people feel sick. They experience neurological problems, and they have irreversible damage to organs. And these treatments severely weaken your body. Belindy Shambrook is 53-year-old of Dallas, says, I had neuropathy nerve damage from chemotherapy, and yoga helped with my pain. I highly recommend natural therapies to anyone. And you have powerful options. And this is what people forget that they have. They just kind of think they're just given this one option. And, you know, I would say investigate. Not every healthcare professional is opposed to natural therapies. I know this. And I know that diet and medicinal herbs offer a lot of healing power, because it's what I've been doing for years. And one key is not to sabotage the effort with bad diet, tobacco, or alcohol use. So watch those areas. And also keep a regular exercise schedule. Keep it going. Good circulation is also a key to regeneration and disease reversal. Now, the research team at Columbia University School of Public Health witnessed that the use of natural therapies in early stage breast cancer was very therapeutic. Okay. They said, their research that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association on Oncology in May 2016, their study revealed the natural therapies that worked or helped were vitamins, minerals, herbal supplements, massage, and meditation. And this is a quote from Heather Greenlee. She's a natural physician, PhD professor of epidemiology, Columbia University School of Public Health. And she says this: women who use supplements and other alternative medicine were less likely to need chemotherapy compared to those who did not use such therapies. Skip the chemical chemo. Wow. So the research is saying that women who use their alternative therapies for 12 months, 87 to 89% of them were women, they were able to avoid chemotherapy that was originally recommended to them. So the use of alternative and complementary medicine was among patients with breast cancer and has increased in the past 20 years. It's becoming more popular. So the most commonly used natural therapy was supplements, massage, and meditation. And overall, patient reports are saying they were using three or more of these alternative therapies at the time. And so in this study, the approach to natural therapies was far different, and the physician's opinion also was changed and different once they read the report. Here is Heather Greenlee again. She says, an interpretation of these results to oncologists is that it is beneficial to ascertain use of complementary and alternative medicine therapies among their patients, especially supplement use, and to consider the use of such treatments as a potential marker of patients at risk of not initiating chemotherapy. So, yeah, so if your patients don't want to do chemo, then don't stand in their way if they want to do some nutritional elements to help themselves. So I would say, you know, if you've got a serious condition, you got some homework to do. And, you know, it's your life to do it. Frank says the theory behind chemo is that they will poison you and hope they kill the cancer before they kill the patient. Well, that's just it. I mean, a lot of times when you go through those traditional treatments, the cancer goes away, and 2 years, cancer comes back, but it's a different cancer, and it's harder to get rid of. Time after time, there's all this research on that. People just don't know where to look for this stuff, and I understand that. But, you know, you can get good at your search engines, and you can pull up I would use search cues that say, scientific study, and then, you know, whatever it is, breast cancer alternatives or prostate cancer alternatives. Find your scientific research, show that to your doctor, right? I mean, I don't know how many people that I've talked to have pulled down Dr. Marion Pandy's research from Quebec University, Medical Center in Ontario, where he was proving dandelion kills all known cancer cells. Totally astonished, you know, by that kind of thing. I've seen doctors that are not accepting that drinking beet juice reboots the bone marrow in your blood system in 24 hours. So if you're anemic or you got some blood imbalances, beets are full of minerals, and they feed the bone marrow, and the bone marrow manufactures your blood. So it's kind of a whole reset there. And a lot of internal medicine issues typically tend to be from a mineral depletion. So, you know, they're just like, they're blown away. You know, it's like, obviously my medical training was incomplete. They say it sarcastically when they tell you that. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously you're missing some things that are beneficial. You can't just do drug therapy. That can't always be the answer. Often isn't. Now, it's very important that you investigate your options regarding any medical treatments, even your supplement therapies. Sometimes you have to dig for the truth on the treatments, but the time is spent on that is well worth it for you. So I can find information on a lot of these conditions, and if I can find it, you can find it online while it's still there. So the thing to remember is herbs have medicinal power because if they didn't, the drug companies wouldn't have initially used herb plants to extract nutritional elements to make their drug therapy with. Think about that. So when herbs are used in their whole food state, they're not stripped of these compounds because you don't need a patent it, right? Because you're not looking for a patent. The action is very gentle and effective in the system, and the body can really utilize that. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get their catalog. You'll be amazed. The tools in there, the information they give you, you'd be amazed what you can do. It's kind of the game changer. When people find us, they like, oh, you know, they were just like, I didn't know I could get rid of gallstones. I didn't know I could, you know, get rid of fibroids. I didn't know I could extend the life of my organs. See, because you weren't taught that. Now, okay, so you weren't taught that, right? I mean, it wasn't taught in, you know, elementary, middle, high school, college, right? Nobody taught you that. Typically, nobody did, unless you had a family member that kind of dabbled in it. So if nobody taught you that growing up, think about your doctors that didn't get that education either. Think about that. They don't know either. Nobody taught them. Okay, so and a lot of times, you know, you can read a lot of this scientific report stuff and it just jumps out at you saying, you know, okay, so this is the problem. This is where the cause of the problem's coming in the condition. Let me go ahead and let's say it was, I don't know, adrenal glands. You can look at ways to help the adrenal glands. See, medicine doesn't typically address cause. They address symptom a lot of the times, but you can find a way to address cause and be really very practically advanced at dealing with a lot of these issues successfully. I've seen it over and over again. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, get their free product catalog, see what they have. They specialize in immune support, metabolic support, organ cleansing, and some other things. They have lots of little kits that are very portable you can take around with you. Pandemic kits, heart attack packs, snake bite kits, cold and flu packs. They got a lot of things there. You can check them out online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Or their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. International number, 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972. Jump on the website, check them out. If you do have email, it's free to sign up for their newsletters where you'll be empowered twice a week with their newsletters that go out, and you'll be glad you did. So thepowerherbs.com. Don't forget, they're having a Father's Day sale. You'll save 25% on your orders of $50 or more now through the, what is it, the 20th, I think. Yep, the 20th. And use coupon code DAD 22 for the discount. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.